Hello.
Hello, Rabbi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I have to tell you, we are on air, and we are doing it through Skype this time because we had some technical difficulties.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, Parshat HaShavua.
Very nice. Well, I don't see you, so I guess you're doing Skype.
It's Skype audio. Like, I call you, you answer, and here we are.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, so this week's Torah portion is Vayakel Pekudei. It's two Torah portions. We end off the book of Shemot, we end off the second book, and we learn in this week's Torah portion that Moses assembles the people of Israel and reiterates to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat. He then conveys God's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And what do we see? The people donate the required materials in abundance, you know, bringing gold and silver and copper and blue and purple and red dye and animal skins and wood and goat hair and olive oil and so on and so forth. It was a very long list. And they were giving so much because they were so eager to have this done. And Moses had to tell them, stop giving. It was enough. We don't need any more.
Send it to the Jewish community.
Yeah. And an accounting is made of all the gold and the silver and the copper donated by all the people for making of the Mishkan. And they, you know, they put everything together, the mirrors and the showbread and the menorah and the priestly garments and so on and so forth. And the Mishkan is completed, the tabernacle is completed, and all its components are brought before Moses, who erects and anoints the anointed with the holy anointing oil. And he initiates in this Torah portion Aaron and his four sons into the priesthood. And a cloud appears over the Mishkan, over the tabernacle, signifying the divine presence that has come to dwell in it. Now, we, as I said, we finished reading this book of Exodus, and it's also, this book of Exodus is also known as the book of redemption because of the description of the people of Israel leaving Egypt, which obviously next week we'll start talking about Passover because we'll have two more shows beforehand, which this week in this book talks about the Jews leaving Egypt. And obviously, as I just said, the second book of what we're about to end concludes by describing the establishment and dedication of the tabernacle, and most importantly, the revelation of God's divine presence within it. Now, the Torah tells us, when the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on their various journeys. When it would stop, that's when the Jews were rested, and that's how they would keep on going through the desert. Now, this seemingly simple verse raises two very significant questions. Because first of all, what is the connection between the Jews traveling forward and the establishment of the tabernacle in the desert? One has nothing to do with the other. They established the tabernacle. End of story. We have to know that when it went up, they kept going. When it stopped, they didn't go. And this information would seem more appropriate, really, later on, in the two books later, in the book of Numbers, when it describes in great detail the various travels of the people, that they were traveling in 40 years in the desert. This parsha doesn't really talk about that much of them traveling through the desert. In two books from now it does. Secondly, the verse implies that the Jews marched toward the land of Israel specifically connected to the divine presence leaving their camp in the desert. Only when the cloud lifted do the Israelites set out. Why is this so? If that's where they're heading, obviously they're going to go there. What is this whole connection? And really, Hasidic thought answers both of them by dealing with the ultimate existential nature of creation. Because we understand the tabernacle to be a paradigm for all of the world. Now, what dynamic is at play behind the timing of the Jewish people's journeys? One answer is that there is no great spiritual accomplishment in fulfilling the divine will at a time when God's presence is revealed and manifest. God's right in front of you, obviously. You know, if a teacher is right in front of, standing on top of a kid, obviously he's going to do what he wants them to do. When he's not, The ultimate goal of existence is to rise up and connect to holiness even when it is hidden and concealed from us. And the Midrash tells us that God desired to have a dwelling place for himself in the lower world, but relative to God. If you think about it, is there any truly an upper or lower world? How does God say he wants to have a place in the lower world? To God, everything is infinite. Upper, lower doesn't make a difference. So we really understand that when God's cloud was found among the Jewish people and his presence was revealed, then the material world ceased to be lowly, quote unquote. It's only when the cloud of God raises itself higher and higher and his divine light is no longer revealed can we begin the spiritual fulfilling of God's design. Because when that is the true test, if we're really, really, truly connected to God. And the tabernacle, the Mishkan, bestows upon the Jewish people the strength and the faculties to bring holiness into this world, the ultimate purpose of the creation. Yes, that when God is truly visible all the time in our eyes, when he's down, when he's on top of us all the time, sure we're going to do what he wants us to do. But when he has lifted himself, when it's in a hidden way, with devil, when the cloud is lifted, that's when we travel. That's when we have to work. That's when our work starts. So this is an extremely, I think, relevant message for us at all times in Jewish history. We are now, 30 years ago, 100 years ago, more, we're in a spiritual state of exile. There is a darkness that rests on the world, necessitating our best efforts to engage in the study of Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvahs. We have to understand that our ultimate goal and purpose is to illuminate that darkness with the light of Torah. Just as the disappearance of the divine cloud from the tabernacle became the sign for us to go forward, so too should the conflicts that we have today encourage and arouse us to dedicate ourselves to fulfillment of God's mission, which is to journey past this era and go into the era of the Messianic era. And I think, you know, this really plays into, obviously, our hearts and prayers go out to the terrible terror attack that happened in England yesterday. You know, this ruthless, not a human thing to comprehend. But, you know, I think it's so important that with darkness like this, it is our job to increase in light, in spirituality, and make this world a better place, and to increase in good deeds, helping someone else, being there for someone else, for a friend, making sure that everyone has what they need. And I think that is an important lesson that we can learn. This is what this Torah is teaching us. Yeah. When the divine presence is not there, it's our job to keep on moving forward and still stay connected. And I think that is something that is a very important lesson that we can learn in our daily life and the way that we interact with God and the way we interact with people and the world.
Yeah. Rabbi, first of all, I want to ask you about services in the weekend. And beside that, there is a first Seder coming.
That's right.
Community
so we
first
have
Seder.
Services are this Friday evening, 6:30. Shabbat morning is at 9:30. Sunday morning is at 8:15, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday at 7:15 in the Parrot House, a good way to start the day. And we have our annual community Passover Seder, the first night of Pesach, which is April 10th. Obviously, we're going to have the four cups of different types of Israeli wines and the grape juice. We're going to have matzah, the real, authentic shmura matzah, handmade matzah, a delicious catered meal by Manzal. Traditional songs, the Passover Haggadah is translated and transliterated. So, if you want to, someone wants to come, an adult is $38, a child 12 and under is 18, if you reserve before April 3rd. After April 3rd, an adult is 45 and a child is 25. If anyone wants to come, they should please let me know, call 519-256-2572, or they can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com.
Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom. And God willing, next week we will start to talk about Passover.
Yeah, we'll start a two-series part of Passover.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll talk.
Thank you.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.